welcome back to Android App Addicts, episode 430. The show, the only show on the internet, the one, the only, where we talk about Android apps and Android hardware and other stuff. I'm pretty sure that there's not another one anywhere in the world like it, is there, Dor?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Yep. Yeah, we're the one and only show on the internet about Android apps. So we're glad you're hanging out with us. My name is Mark, sometimes known as the Sultan of the Soapbox, and as you've already heard from there, the door-to-door geek, your friend and mine, Steve McLaughlin. Hey, Dor.
Hey, Mark. Okay. This morning, my youngest son comes down the stairs, and he says, Dad, I would like cereal for breakfast. Great, son. Open the cupboard. Go look at what kind of cereal we got. And we don't have cocoa corn pops. We have corn puffs because, you know, they're the same thing. And he wanted them. But once in a while, like me, he mixes up his first letters of words. Like when I was a kid, once in a while, I would say instead of Hex and Macy's, I would say Hacy's and Mex.
What is Hex and Macy's?
It's department stores.
Okay.
Because we went, there's one mall and there was always Hex and Macy's in the mall. But so my son turned to me and said, hey, Dad, I want porn cuffs. And I literally did a spit. And I literally did a spit take this morning, Mark.
I could just see your face on that. You know what? How do you even respond to that? You freeze for just a moment and then say that again.
I literally did a spit take. I said, what did you just say? He said, I want some corn puffs. And then it took me a couple of seconds to realize he mixed up the first letters. Oh, my Lord. So I just gave him a big fat hug, told him how good he looked this morning because I like complimenting him first thing in the morning, and gave him his cereal. And he didn't even think twice about it.
I remember.
But that was
when I was about seven. I was playing around with rhyming words, and I found that if you substitute the first letter of a word, you can create a rhyming word. And so I started coming up with things that rhyme with itch. And my mom quickly said, that's one you don't want to do, son.
Yeah. So it was a really good beginning to a day for me. Then I went into work and told multiple people completely off. How was your week, sir?
You know, it was all right. Other than the fact that I am drowning in pools of my own mucus, there's a visual for you. You're welcome. It's just pollen season here in North Georgia, and it is killing me. There's about 3 weeks in the spring and 3 weeks in the fall that I get hit really bad. And the rest of the time, I don't have any troubles. But so if you hear me coughing or hacking or just generally making sounds that you don't want in your earbuds, I apologize in advance for that.
And I foolishly want to ask you, is this possibly, like, quote unquote, the worst time of the year for you? But something's telling me no. There's a lot of worse times of the year.
Well, that's an interesting social phenomenon there, because anytime you're trying to plan anything, you always use the phrase, this just isn't a good time of year for that. Because the fact is that when you're an adult and you have a family and you have responsibilities, there are no such thing as good times of year. So we say that around Thanksgiving or around Christmas or around the beginning of the year. And then in the summer, it's not good either. And in the spring, well, there's all the kids stuff going on. And in the fall, well, there's all the fall stuff and birthdays and all that. So yeah, you're right. There's just no such thing as a good time to do what you want to do.
Yeah. I can tell you, I just started taking my dose of Claritin like about a week ago, and I'm going to be taking it for at least a couple weeks, I know, because around here, like you said, I woke up one morning, I came outside, my car was no longer white. It was yellowish orange from all the pollen.
Yeah, I was introduced to you know, yellow snow. That's southern snow here in Georgia, is cedar and pine pollen for the most part. And first it coats everything and literally eighth of an inch, even quarter of an inch thick in places. And then the rain comes, and then there are yellow rivers running all over the place. And it's just the weirdest thing, that being from Texas, where I lived, it pretty much stopped raining in May and didn't rain again until August. So I'm just not accustomed to being in a place where things grow. And apparently pollen is an artifact of things growing. This is new to me. I'm having to learn to adjust to it.
Well, you know, life is change, and I will let everyone know, as a completely horrible segue, I did do a episode 429.5 in video. If you go over to patreon.com/androidappaddicts, I released it to everybody, so everybody, whether or not you're a Patreon member, can see it. And what I'll ask is, should, to the people, and I guess I value your opinion, obviously, Mark, part of me thinks I shouldn't release it as an audio only as well, because there's no Eric and there's no Mark. To me, that's kind of the reason people subscribe to the feed is for Mark, Eric, and Dor, not Dor.
Actually, I don't think that's true. I think pretty much everybody listening to the show is listening for Dor, and Eric and I are just window dressing. But I think it's also totally okay to have some Patreon-only goodies, and it's an incentive to go there and make your presence known there. So I think you're fine there.
Okay, yeah, and it's video only. It's only, I think, like 23 minutes long. So if you have a hard time sitting through video, you're not going to have as hard of a time sitting through this because it wasn't that long.
All right, good stuff. I don't have any witty banter tonight, so why don't we just jump straight? I also don't have any emails. You guys have let me down in the email department, so I'm chastising you now. We have one app specifically for Eric, since he's not here. We'll hold that one. But otherwise, you guys need to get on to sending some email, mail@podnuts.com, to let us know what you think, what apps we should check out, what questions you have, that sort of thing. But we should also mention Eric's not here because he is a bit under the weather as well.
I'm going to say, and we're going to blame Eric that there's no emails because he's not here to defend himself.
Yeah, we're not saying it's his fault, just that we're going to blame him. So, Dor, kick us off. What is your first app of the evening?
Okay, the first app, I'm not going to lie, it confused me just a touch, but I believe I now have my psyche completely wrapped 360-degree view of the app, and I think I comprehend it now. It's called Complete Kodi Setup Wizard. What I believe is this is an app to install and completely, quote-unquote, customize your Kodi installation, I believe, on your Android device. I'm not thinking this connects to your local computer or Pi or whatever running Kodi to configure it. I think it just installs and configures locally installed Kodi.
It looks cool. One of the screenshots there is for something called Kodi Flix. I have never heard of that, but if that gives me the Netflix catalog inside the Kodi interface, I just became a fan of it.
Well, yeah, because I don't know about you, but Netflix interfaces run completely hot and cold, and sometimes they completely suck. So to have a nice interface to it is definitely a huge plus. And that was one of the reasons I like this, was because right inside of the app, it has the ability to browse packages, I believe is what they call them, which are really nothing more than plugins for Kodi. And I do think that's one of the feature-rich, powerful things about Kodi, is that you have add-ons or plugins. And again, for everyone listening, it's Kodi, K-O-D-I, the XBMC variant.
All right, I just did a quick googly search of it, and Kodi Flix is not the Netflix content. It's still your local content. It's basically a skin for Kodi. So I'm less impressed with it.
Well, I am too, but it still looks better than normal mobile Netflix interface. So it has that going for it.
Right. I just want to say you it was on Google Plus. I think it might have been in the Android App Addicts community. You had a discussion with somebody who was asking about an Android TV box, and you made a comment that I thought was prescient, and I wanted to bring out. You said, I've never known anybody to buy one of these, and it kept them happy for long. Just this week, I don't use the Android TV box upstairs. We just don't watch a lot of TV up there. So it's been several weeks since I turned it on. And when I turned it on, it was locked up. It didn't do anything. I had to actually do a complete factory reset. I don't know what happened. I don't know why. But like the next day after I had done all that, I saw you make that comment. And so I thought, you know, both Eric and I have sort of sung the praises of these little Android TV boxes. And I just say, I agree with you completely. They're fine for projects, but if you want something that's going to work every time, go buy a Roku. It's just not going to work for you. It's a project. It's a toy. It's not something you actually want to deploy and use.
Well, and the thing I really found distasteful, I'm going to say, about the link that was there, I believe it was by Ghetto Geek. I can't remember his real name, but he's Ghetto Geek. It was a Groupon link, and it basically lied belligerently and said, normally $299, today $45. Right,
which is about what you pay for one of those. Exactly.
Always, always. You go to Amazon, you can just put in XBMC Android or Kodi Android, and you will see a billion of these things. And they're all hovering around the high 20s for the really crappy ones to the high 80s for the quote unquote better ones. I look at these almost like Chromebooks. If you go into a Chromebook knowing its limitations, you can use it, and if you're, and you can be pretty happy with it. If you go into one of these little boxes knowing the limitations to them and limiting your expectations to it, you can be happy with them, but I've never seen anyone use it consistently for more than 4 or 5 months, just because there's always little things that pop up that make it uncomfortable to use, and the remote control interface is never great. I'll say that.
Yeah, I have been doing this for over a decade now, playing with various media center devices, and I can tell you, as much of a fan of Linux and of Android and all that as I am, the only solid experience you're going to have is a Windows box running something like XBMC or Kodi, but on Windows, because then you get the Netflix and you get the Amazon Prime, you get the full experience that you just can't get anywhere else. And I hate to say that, but it's just the truth. And as your mini PC show likes to point out, there are lots of mini PCs out there now that can run, full on Windows software. So if you're looking to do something like that, that's really where you need to go. But if you just want a just a thing you plug in, the Roku, the Fire TV, even the Chromecast are fine. But if you want one box to rule them all, right now it's got to be Windows. That's the only thing that runs everything.
Well, and it's going to get much harder in the future for these mini computers, because Intel just announced, after announcing 2 weeks ago, they were going to lay off, I guess is the right term, 11% of their employees, something like 12,000 employees. Like a week or two later, they said they're going to cease and halt all production on all Intel, all mobile and tablet chips. I'm sorry, not mobile, phone and tablet low-end processors. And that's what all of those mini computers that ran Windows ran.
So yeah, Atom processor mostly, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's not good for those little devices.
Which means at that point, at that point you're looking at like an Intel Nook, which is a $500 box. It just happens to be a small box. So the days of cheap and small seem to be numbered.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the price is going to keep coming down, but it's going to take a while for them to get down again, I think, to sub $200. I will say the best remote outside of a
Harmony.
What's Roku?
Okay.
For any type of home theater instance, I found has been honestly the XBMC app on Android, only because everything on your screen perfectly matches what's on your other screen, so you don't have to worry about mousing down or tabbing through controls. Any handheld remote for any Kodi setup I've seen, it's always been at least a little bit painful. That's where stuff like Roku just destroy every other solution, is in the controls.
And they do that because they can tightly control the interface. It's a very simplistic, very large icon type interface. And when you control the interface, you can do that. But with Kodi and things like it, we keep saying Kodi because they're sort of the 800-pound gorilla in that space right now. Because it's community-built, you have less control over it. And you get skins like Kodi Flicks, for example. So, that's the Apple model, the control everything, control the hardware, control the software, control the experience. And it has its place. It really does.
Yes. And he who controls the spice controls the information itself.
All right, that's enough about that one. Kodi, complete Kodi setup wizard, for those of you who say we don't say the app enough. What you got next, Orr?
What I have next is there's been actually more than a couple Lego things coming out in the previous weeks. I think I brought Lego Jurassic Park 2 weeks ago, I believe, or last week. And it's good, but there's more, and they're never stopping. This one is now the Lego movie video game. So if you want now I can't remember his name, Emmett. Sorry, if you want to control Emmett and Wild Style and ask her, are you a DJ or anything like that, you can now do it via a Android game that is $5 to buy. But I can assure you, your children will definitely get $5 worth of entertainment out of this game. I can say that because I kind of got $5 worth of entertainment out of this game.
What interests me about this is one of the things that these games, all of them, all the Lego games give you, is not just the gameplay, but the build part of it, which is so crazy because Lego is all about building physical structures and sticking things together, but now we're doing it in the virtual world, and it's kind of a full circle sort of thing, I guess. I'm not really sure how I feel about it. I mean, if you want to play with Legos, just go play with Legos. But now you can play with Legos in a video game at the same time. But it's also compelling. I mean, what that is essentially all Minecraft is moving blocks around. It's an international hit because that simple methodology of playing with blocks has been popular for centuries.
Yeah, absolutely. And there is no video on the Play Market for this, which means it must be awesome. I seriously cannot encourage people enough. I know there's more than a couple people out there who are completely sick and tired of me bringing Lego stuff to this show, but wah, get over it, because there is rarely a better brand on these Android devices to play. Granted, a lot of them are very kid-focused, but my wife always said I was immature.
1 to 5 installs, updated May 3rd. This is the freshest Android app show in the world. You're not going to get better than that. Five people have installed this, and Dora is one of those five. That's crazy.
Yes. And for you all of you listeners right now, I'm flexing my incredibly pale muscle while the live video stream for the viewers goes.
You broke it. It just, your strength was more than it could handle.
Oh, yeah, that's it. You nailed it right on the
head. There is a note here that says, this game is filled with many hours of content and cinematics that take up a lot of space. Sometimes apps list how much space they take up. This one doesn't. Can you quickly ascertain that for our audience, Dor?
Oh, I guarantee you it took well over a gig, because it was a long download, and as soon as you launch it, it took a while for that thing to come down. Just for the live viewers, you didn't miss anything, really. Here's one thing I gotta say. Yes, we are uncommonly bleeding edge, and I will just say this is how giddy I am. Two out of the other four Android ecosystem, not app, ecosystem-related shows that I listened to mentioned Fast Like a Fox for the very first time. I can tell you, we brought that app here over 20 shows ago, almost 6 months ago. So if you like staled old applications by journalists who don't actually understand the ecosystem, don't actually understand normal people, and don't actually participate in the communities that they say that they're a part of, keep listening to those other shows. If you want brand new games, the new hotness that people want to play, you need to come and announce and tell other people to listen to Android App Addicts.
Absolutely. You'll be doing them a favor by recommending this show to them.
Right. And it's what plants crave.
All right. What you got next?
Let me see. The one I'm going to bring next is one that I really had a hard time, and I hate using the word grok, but I really did have a hard time grokking this game. It's called Zenge, Zenge. E for everyone, 271 reviews, 5 out of 5 stars. The only way I can say this is a interactive, beautiful 3D puzzle.
We'll never know
game.
What he said. Well, while he's gone, I will vamp and point out that this, the developer of this game is called Hamster on Coke Games. You just can't go better than Hamster on Coke. You had me at Hamster on Coke. I don't care if the game's any good or not. The app developer, you had me at hello with that one. Hamster on Coke Games, Zenge.
Yes. The only way I can classify this game, this is a unique 2D puzzler, is the way that I can describe it. But it's definitely unique. I definitely encourage people, if you like being challenged in any shape, way, or form, and like, quote-unquote, beauty, this is really cool. It is 99 cents. No in-app purchases, and from what I can tell, no ads anywhere in the game that I saw. This is the kind of thing that I love, and I completely blew right through. 99 cents, maybe an hour or so later, I finished it.
You know, and if you figure that it costs $17.50 to go see 2 hours of Captain America, it's a bargain.
Yeah, well, yes, and the beauty is, then, if you want, you can give it to somebody else and show them well, something that at least you think is cool, because this was something that I really did think was cool, partially just because it was different, and the other partially because it actually made me stop and think a little bit, and I could easily listen to my podcast while playing it, but you know.
I want to follow up with, you mentioned last week, the MechCom, Command and Conquer kind of game, and I mm-hmm. bought that one immediately because I love that style of game. I've been playing it all week. It's not a stand-in-line game. It takes... 10 to 15 minutes to complete some of the things. So it's really a sit down and play the game thing. I'm not even through with the first campaign. So that is a dollar well spent on that one. Maybe it was a 99 or $1.99. So just to, you know, from the guy who doesn't pay for anything, I bought it and am enjoying it.
That was the Mech 2D.
Yes.
I think it was called.
Yeah, it was called MechCom. MechCom 2. That was it.
Yeah. MechCom 2-3D RTS, real-time strategy. This one, yeah, I ain't gonna lie, I loved the motion and the graphics. Just thought it fit each other.
Yeah, my only complaint is it's a little hard to scroll around the environment, using your finger to swipe through the map, but on a larger tablet, it would probably be fine. But that was literally my only complaint about it. That and it's hard. They put you in scenarios where your opponents have significant advantages over you, so you really have to actually be good. You can't just marshal your forces and march down there and wipe them out, which is both a good and a bad thing. It's good because it's a puzzle and it's enjoyable, but it's bad because, you know, if I've got 5 minutes between meetings, I can't finish a game that hard in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, then here's a stupid question I got for you. Could you mention the larger screen? Would you ever entertain the idea of seamlessly having your Android device in front of you, but streaming the entirety of the display to a larger screen, like a TV or a monitor?
Like a Chromecast kind of thing? There's a place for that. It's not something I would use every day.
Well, yeah. I keep thinking the younger I am, the more I would take advantage of such a thing. Where if I was like 20, I would be destroying that. I think I'd have a lot of fun doing that. But being mid-40s, I think it's cool, but I don't know how much I would actually use it. And the real reason I ask is because of this next game, Mark. This one is completely free. Unfortunately, though, it does have in-app purchases. You want to get your mech on. This is definitely, I think, one of the better mech-looking games. It's called Warhammer 40,000 Free Blade. I would just encourage you, load it up the app, and just watch a little bit of the video. And this game is definitely a much, 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 much more modern, true, in this sense, Mecha Warrior style game, but it has a little bit of almost a steampunk-esque style thrown in. But I saw this, and I immediately was thrust back to Mecha Warrior on a DOS.
Oh, man, you are lowering my productivity every week, Dor.
Well, I got to keep up with Seth.
This looks really cool. It's like Street Fighter face-to-face combat, but in mechs, at least from watching the video of it.
Yeah, I saw this, and I did have time to download it. Only had time to play it for a minute or two. Mech 3D over-the-shoulder view, at least most of the gameplay that I played. Good animation, good style, good action. And it's completely free, so you don't have to worry about spending money, Mark.
Yeah, so this is not your... this is not Command and Conquer. This is not Risk. This is more of an arcade game style game. So you got all good things there. I'm downloading as we speak.
Yeah, and see, this is the kind of game I really could see displaying to a big screen TV and having like my kids or somebody watch and just think it's really cool. And I keep forgetting to switch to the video on the live broadcast. I'm sorry, everybody, but Warhammer 40,000 Free Blade. If you just watch, it's a minute 12 video. If you only watch about 10 or 15 seconds, you get the gist. You get the, yeah. Shoot, kill, bomb, explode, crush, 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 bang, bang, bang. And one guy appears to have like a gigantic chainsaw.
Right. It's like modern, it's not steampunk. Steampunk is usually like Victorian, but this is like ancient Japanese robots. With lasers and chainsaws. I mean, you had me at chainsaws. I'm in.
Yeah, this is 25,000 reviews, 4.5 stars. 25,000 1,000 reviews, 4.5 stars, between 100,000 and 500,000 downloads. Yeah, this the only thing I can say with this is this is a keeper.
Yeah, and it looks like it's funded by in-app purchases where you get to a point where your weapons are inferior, and if you don't buy money, you can't play anymore. As a game player, that bothers me. As a free market enthusiast, it doesn't. You get what you can out of it free, and then you either decide to play, pay, or you decide to put it up.
Well, see, honestly, here's the thing I like about that methodology. Then I know I'm going to hit a glass ceiling, and I'm just going to stop playing, and I can move on with my life.
Yeah, I do that. I'll play a game as far as I can play, and then I decide either do I want to pay for this, or do I just have I enjoyed it all? I'm going to enjoy it, and I really think that's a good way to do it, as opposed to the like pay to speed things up method. You get to a point where you can't defeat the warrior without upgrading, so you make that choice.
Right.
I did want to. There was an app we did recently. I can't remember what it was, but I uninstalled it because of the egregious ads.
RBI Baseball?
No, it's the same night we did the MechCom one. It'll come to me in a minute, but anyway.
Smashy City. I'm betting you with an Eric app.
Maybe. But it was one of those where you could turn this. Oh, it was the Demolition Derby one. It wasn't Eric app. Yeah. And the gameplay was okay, but every time you finished a screen, an ad would come up with blaring loud sound. And then you'd have to actively push the mute button on the sound. So even though you had the game muted, the ads didn't honor the mute settings of the game. And that's just not okay with me. Now, I'm sure I didn't have my phone muted. I'm sure if I'd muted my phone, that would have done it. But when I mute the app, that should be it. That should mute everything. And I'm okay with having to watch a 30-second, you know, Game of War app or whatever. But don't make it really, really loud. And that caused me to uninstall the app. They had the exact opposite thing. Not only did I not buy what they were advertising, I uninstalled the app because the ads were just too annoying.
Yeah, that's not good. That to me is an app planning its own failure. And I'll say this really quick. The one thing I forgot to mention when we were talking about the Kodi boxes, the little XBMC boxes, is remember, and I know you know this, Mark. 6 or 8 years ago, you would go on the Dell website and you would compare the stats in your spreadsheet of laptop A, and then you would go and find another laptop, and you would see all of the numbers that you see are almost identical. But there's a $300 price difference in the computer. How can this possibly be? Well, there's always stats in computing devices that manufacturers don't either talk about or just don't emphasize. And back in the day, it used to be bus speed. To find out the bus speed of the motherboard, you had to know the processor and then reverse engineer it and go back and find out, oh, well, this laptop has a faster bus speed, which means my overall experience is going to be much, much, much quicker. That's why it's 300 more.
It could only take DDR2 RAM when everybody else was using DDR3, something like that. Yeah.
Right. These little Kodi boxes have the same problem. These little Android boxes have the same problem. And one of the biggest limiting factors is the GPU. When they chintz out and they don't get a good GPU, that means everything from the time you power it on is going to have a harder time getting done, whether it's a game or streaming a movie. So with those lower ends or even the $40 to $50 Android boxes, if you try to play this game Warhammer, it ain't going to run because it just can't handle it. So don't always just go by the stats and think it's a great price a deal. Always check people's reviews. That's my only way I know with, am I getting crap or something that could actually be pretty good.
That's a good tip.
Okay. Now this app I didn't pick up. It was shoved down my throat when I was in Bellingham, Washington by Chuck. Chuck, really good guy from Oregon. And I believe I said that right this time. Gave me this app. It's called Just Watch. And I know, Mark, you are one of the guys. You always had, can I stream it on my Android device? And whenever there was a movie, I would enter it and I would see, can I stream it? Well, what I started to notice, and he confirmed it for me, was the app stopped getting updates. So it would tell me something wasn't available, even though it was available. Or it would tell me I can get it on Netflix, and I would go on Netflix and it wasn't there. So he gave me this app, Just Watch. Just Watch It does give you a handy way, quote unquote, to quickly filter based upon service. And this probably does have more services in it. Everything from Netflix, Hulu, HBO, Crackle, Amazon, Apple, even Sony, PlayStation Network, Vudu, on and on and on and on. So I'm definitely liking this app right now to use, and I did like the fact that I can mark bookmarks or favorites, so when it comes available, it will notify me. So I definitely like that. So when something comes out on Netflix, if I have a bookmark, it's going to tell me.
And there's also a website, justwatch.com. If you don't want to go through all the trouble of downloading the app, you can get the same database in a web page.
Right, yeah. I'm just set not at a computer so much that I'm beholden and reliant on these mobile apps. And this did seem like it worked, and he did say that he thought the web page was technically far superior in how it worked. But I found this one to be okay, I'll say. And I'm going to try now. I went through a whole bunch of games in the beginning, 4 or 5 games. Now I'm going to try to do non-games for a little while.
Ooh, wow. Throwing down the gauntlet. No more games from Door.
Well, you know, you got to try. And this next one is not a game, but you can turn it into a gamification. It's not a cop-out. Trust me on this one here. Oh, man, I hate these long URLs, Mark. There's nothing more that grinds my gears. Oh, wait, that's a Family Guy thing. Sorry. Okay, with this is an app, but it's more like an app ecosystem as well. It's called Kanye?
Cayenne.
Cayenne. Like the pepper. Damn it. Right, Cayenne, Cayenne.
Did you already bring this one?
Honestly, I couldn't because the app just came out. I might have brought the ecosystem because it said there was going to be an app, but then I found out there wasn't an app. But now there is an app. So, Cayenne by My Devices, E for Everyone, is in the tools category, completely free, no in-app purchases, and no ads. This is a handy-dandy way to sync your phone with your Raspberry Pi or a Pi-type computer and build and design the IoT-type functionality from your phone back into your Pi device. I love this because you could be away from your home and get the itch and get the, oh man, wait, I could do this. So you can use this app to either A, research parts and GPIO stuff, or you can use this to actually start to design some IoT functionality, tweak some sensors inside of your home network and things like that. This is the kind of app that makes me wish I had more vacation time from work, if you know what I mean.
Indeed.
Could be cool.
And so this, it's like a planning app? Is that what it is? I'm not sure I'm processing what this is. So I'm looking through the screenshots and I'm seeing various sensors. So you write code for the sensors that you're going to have plugged into your Pi?
Well, you run one command on your Pi, you install the app, it then, through their service, connects both of them together. So you can, on your phone, modify, you can use your phone as a dashboard to read all of the different sensors or activity on your Pi. You can also use the device to, like, research GPIO information to know what you can do. And also you can do like if this, then that type triggering and events right from your phone, but have it all based upon your Pi device. I think of this as a Internet of Things hub interface, like, you know, not web.2.0, but like .1.0.
I have no use for this at the moment, but I'm going to bookmark that because someday I might. I keep saying someday I'm going to do something with all these Raspberry Pis I have laying around.
Right. And if you look at it, I want to see the fourth screenshot. This was the one that really got me interested in it. It gives me a complete graphical layout of all of the 40 pins on my Raspberry Pi. And right there, I can say when something happens, I want to call this pin, you know, mother, and then say when the door opens, notify mother, and it will send a signal through that GPIO pin. To me, it was a very different way to program against your Pi computing device. This is really the beginning of a future kind of thing. And usually the people that do it first don't succeed long term. But these guys, I think, have a pretty enough interface they might actually succeed.
It's all about abstraction. That's the new paradigm right now, is how far away from the silicon can we get? And this is just another way to do that. You're designing this you know, hardware centric device. You've got sensors plugged into it, but you never do any code with this. So you're abstracted away from the code. It's the drag and drop sort of programming. That's what you're doing. You're programming. You're modifying not only software but hardware, but in a intuitive graphical interface. That this is the future. You know, this is Star Trek, right? When Data is talking to the computer and he says, I need these parameters to make this happen. He's writing code. He's just doing it, you know, over the computer. And that's supposedly in the 25th century. So we're ahead of the game.
Yeah, as soon as you were saying that, the only thing that came to mind was Geordi LaForge asking the computer to run a diagnostic. Well, that's like saying, hey, computer, how you doing?
Right.
You know,
I was actually complaining to myself because I'm crazy and I talk to myself. I was in traffic and my Nexus, my Moto X has a problem in that when it begins to overheat, it has, you know, significant performance issues. It has trouble dissipating the heat, which is true of all things. But this phone in particular has several features that makes it overheat a little more often than normal. For example, the screen I've complained about a lot as a big battery drain will cause it to overheat. Also, the turbocharging feature, when you're down at 20% and you plug it in, and it's rapidly charging, that produces heat. So when I'm in my car in the Georgia summer, and I've got it up in the dashboard with the sun hitting it, and I'm running navigation, and I've got the turbocharger plugged in, it gets pretty hot and it begins to stutter. So I'm listening to my navigation. I've also got my audiobook playing, plus it's, you know, downloading my whatever, you know, because I'm abusing this device. It starts to go a little crazy. And I was saying to myself, with all the voice actions that we have, why can't I say to my phone, okay, Google, reboot yourself, and have it do that? That would be a simple thing. But Google doesn't give you a reboot at all. They're certainly not going to give you a voice action because there isn't one. You have to turn it off, or you have to use something like CyanogenMod that exposes that. And then my next train of thought was, well, that's just stupid. Let's, instead of spending our time getting a voice-activated reboot, let's just make the phone and the OS so good that you don't ever have to reboot it. But then I truly do have a point there. I'm not just going in circles. It occurred to me that in Star Trek, the primary solution to all their problems was always reboot. They just called it reinitialize the main power coupling, and which is turn it off and back on again. So that problem apparently never goes away.
Oh, I can never see it go away, because the same thing, I firmly believe if I live to the ripe old age of 80, the doctor's going to come in and say, have you tried to stop his heart and start it back again? You know what I mean? It's only a matter of time.
Yeah. We just need to stop all neural activity, reboot the brain, and then we'll find out that cures autism or Alzheimer's.
Right. Something. This was another app that I got from Chuck when I was in Bellingham. This one's called, okay, now here's the problem. Ready? You and me both know Alfred. The name Alfred, we instantaneously lock in on that name, and we know exactly what we mean when we say the word Alfred. Unfortunately, so do a lot of other app developers. So if you just search the Play Store for Alfred, you will find a metric ton of similar apps with the same name or right in the same name. This one is called Alfred Smart Home by Brain Drain Solutions LTD, with a red cloud and a black house inside of that red cloud. Okay, again, Alfred Smart Home. 86 reviews, E for everyone, free to download, no in-app purchases, and no ads. This is what they call a smart home controller portal. Okay, what I did like about this was I could very easily set up my Android phone, download any IP camera on an old phone, download that app, turn it on. It would give me a IP address and stuff. I would then go into Alfred and say, add a device. You can add devices over the public internet or on your intranet, or you can give both IP addresses. So in your home, you'll connect directly to it. When you're not home, you'll go over the public internet. And you can look at your cameras and even hit a button and talk, and it will come out of the speaker on the phone. That was just one of the things that this app can do. It really is heavily geared and focused towards brand name devices, brand name things in your house, whether it be Sonos, Hue, lighting, or any of those kinds of things, is what this app is really, really meant for. but it can also do IP camera stuff as well. And that's what I used it for. If I had much more of a quote-unquote connected house, I could see me abusing this application.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say this is the developer of this is a non-native English speaker, because the description on one of these is keep under control all your consumption energy of every room and devices.
Sounds perfectly normal to me. Oh, wait, that's right. I went to public school. I'm sorry. Okay, and I will encourage people, if you have a Nest or you have anything with the name brand that is a connected device, whether it be a media player, a thermostat, a video camera, audio system, or anything like that, and you want a single interface to control it by, give this app a chance. Chuck spoke very highly about it. It was very easy. It took minutes for me to download, install, configure, and bam, I was watching the camera. And I scared my children speaking out of the camera, because I'm the dork who set it up in the living room and then went downstairs and then hit the button so I could talk through the phone just to freak them out. But it definitely works. It's definitely good. No chance of spending money in the app. I like it. And it does have some sort of if-then trigger event scenarios, which I never really got. But, you know.
Okay, so talk to me about that function, Dor. So if I've got a couple of cracked tablets and some old phones, I can set up a whole house intercom, and with one tap on the interface, I can talk to any other room in the house?
I do believe you can talk to one room. I don't think you can talk to all rooms. So it can't be like a PA system that I know of. But if you just have Android devices with cameras on them all over your house, you can, through this device, look at any of them and speak through them.
Well, okay, you just sold me on this. So I can put one down in the basement and mount a tablet up on the wall up in the kitchen, so that when I want to call the kids for dinner, I can tap the button and say, hey, dinner's ready.
Well, and you can even be more annoying than that. Because if you have the back of the tablet facing and you use that camera, you can also turn the flash on and off. You can turn the flashlight on, or you can turn the flashlight off, which is the back flash. So you can be double annoying if you want to be.
I'm all about being as annoying as possible as a parent.
Well, that's our jobs, right?
The idea of having your coffee pot come on before you wake up, you know, we've had those since the 70s. That's not really novel. So they're kind of stretching for some of these smart home things that they put in the video, but I like the idea of repurposing devices. So that has my attention.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you go to the app in the store, scroll down, you will see all of at least the known compatible hardware. Something tells me you can actually connect it to more devices. And it ranges from all of the Nest thermostat, Nest Protect, Nest Cam, all of the Philips Hue, Philips Iris, Sonos's devices, My Fox devices, Wi-Fi Plug Mini, Belkin, Wemo devices, Motorola iCam, My Fox security camera, on and on and on and on and on and on and on. But yes, just the simple fact that I can take old devices that I don't deem critically important anymore, plug up a wall wart micro USB, turn the app on, voila, I now have myself. And what I did, honestly, was I like the fact that with the normal webcam apps, you can turn the screen off so it's completely dark. There's no screen on for burn-in or anything, and you can turn into a camera you can see from anywhere. And of course, if you open up a port on your firewall and you do NAT forwarding, you are doing NAT forwarding. That's a security call you have to make on your own. I'm not still completely comfortable with doing that, even if there's a username password on the camera.
It also seems to have macro functions, so that with a tap of a button, you can turn three things on and two things off. That's a neat idea.
Ah, I like that. That's like Harmony-esque. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
So you can put the, leaving. You could have a button that says leaving, and it'll turn the TV off, it'll turn the lights off, it'll lock the door, it'll set the air conditioner to 80 degrees. I like it. Neat idea.
Well, I do too, but here's something else I want to say. Like you were talking about, and I keep thinking about these apps in a different stage of life is what I'm going to say. If I was living by myself, I could see abusing the crap out of that type of functionality. But just because I live with other people, I keep thinking, well, I have to take them into consideration as well. Just because I'm leaving Does it mean I should turn everything off?
Well, see, I'm looking at the other way around because I do live with other people and they're small people and they're irresponsible people. And every light in the house is on when they leave and both TVs are on. And you know, the air conditioner is set at 50 degrees because they were hot when they got up. So I like the idea of being able to do a lockdown mode because, you know, I know at 9 p.m. everybody's left my house or they should have already. And if anybody's at home playing hooky, they deserve to have to deal with the consequences of that anyway.
Didn't I tell you what happened when I went up to Bellingham here at the house?
No.
Okay. Well, my kids are the same thing, but they also love to leave. We only have one door. We don't have a storm door on our house. We just have the one door. They love going out and just leaving the door open. When I went up in Bellingham, I was there one day, which meant this happened while I was here. My wife voxered me in a complete panic slash hysteria slash upset as hell message that there was a dead bird on our ground floor, and it was completely dead and stiff. So that means one of the last days I was here, when the kids left in the morning to go out to the car and I was upstairs, they just opened the door and just kept walking, and two birds flew right in. Because here's the thing. The day before I left, when we came home from work, 10 hours later, I opened the door and there's a bird right there flying around. And I didn't understand that why, when I tried to get the bird out, it flew back further into my house first and then flew back out. Well, it went back trying to encourage the other bird, come on, let's get out of here. But I didn't even know the other bird was back there. So it died. And it fell. And it laid by our laundry room waiting for my wife and son to find it. And my son promptly told me he is scarred for the rest of his life. And it was completely my fault.
All right. As long as it's story time with Dore, I have one. When I was 5 years old, I got on the bus to leave for school. And I forgot my Gundam mech that I was going to take to school for show and tell. So I pleaded with the bus driver. I said, I need you to go back to my house. It's very important. So he turned the school bus around. I went in and I didn't tell him why. I just told him it was very important. I went in and I got my Gundam mech and I came back out. And he was furious with me because I had just made him wait for some stupid reason. 2 days later, I walked out and left the front door open. And realized that I had left the front door open. And I pleaded with the bus driver, I got to go back. It's very important. No, not going to do it this time. You burned me once. I had spent that capital. Got home, and my mom's cats, not singular, plural. My mom's a crazy cat lady. We had like 9 outdoor cats, had all decided they would be indoor cats. They had destroyed everything in the house, eaten all the food they could get to, killed my parakeet. And so I learned early the boy who cried wolf story in a very personal way.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, well, hopefully my sons now understand not to leave the door wide open, except I came in from Bellingham. First morning, I went downstairs, and the door was wide open.
Yeah.
And then when we came in from work, guess what?
Door was
there
wide.
Was another bird in the house.
Oh, another bird. Nice.
Yeah, my guess is it was the bird I chased out coming back trying to get its mate
for its
to
friend.
Say, what are you doing? Come on, we got to go. But couldn't find it because it was in a trash can already delivered to the dump.
Oh, poor little scruffy.
Yeah.
All right, cheer us up with a good app. Actually, I want to make a request. I'm looking at your spreadsheet here. This one interests me, the Settings Editor app. Tell us about that.
Yes. Okay, there is pluses and minuses to this app. And the pluses is this app gives you the availability to customize a lot of the settings menu. And when I say the settings menu, you go into Android, Home, Settings, and there you go. You have your Wi-Fi controls, Bluetooth controls, security apps, all that. It gives you the ability to customize that screen, that view, but you have to have Exposed installed. This is the kind of ridiculous functionality, customization functionality you can get with Android and Exposed. I found this just to be interesting enough and cool enough that I had to at least install and play with. And you could customize every icon for every settings that you could do. There also are subfolders, if you will, that you can bring to the front. So if you always find yourself going into data, other mobile data, and you are tired of clicking 3 times every time, you can pull that functionality back up to the main menu. That's the kind of customization I thought was really, dare I say, impressive, in my opinion, in this app. which is the real reason why it caught my eye.
And what you have linked here is the trial version lets you do 5 changes. There's a pro version for 99 cents that breaks that limit.
Gotcha. Well, I guess I never hit that. I guess I only did less than 5 changes. So download it. And if you find yourself, you don't think you need more than 5 changes, well, then you're as good as gold.
All right.
Very cool. And it has maybe the perfect description logo in the world. Typically, to go into settings in Android, it's a cog. Well, it's a cog with a pencil in the middle. Settings editor. Okay, what I'm going to bring here next, I'm still, you had a very good text expander, Mark, and I've been fighting, trying to find something better, not because, for no other reason, just to see if I can find something better. And I'm still not able to find something I do think is clearly better, but I will say this was a really good text expander, textpand-textexpander. One of the reasons I like this was the fit and finish, the polish on top of the app, I thought was very easy to read, very quick to comprehend, and the app itself would work with any keyboard, which is a must. I want to be able to use my keyboard, yet have my automatic text expansion. And I completely forgot. Can you do me a favor and explain to everyone what is text expansion?
Okay, think of macros. If you've ever done any macros in Excel or anything like that, you say you always type the same phrase when you're texting your wife to let her know you're leaving work. Leaving work, be home in 30 minutes. You could set up a phrase where LW30 is all you type, and it expands that text into whatever you set up there. So arbitrary things, I usually start it with some non-standard character like a hash or a bang so that they're like hashtags. And when I enter a hashtag, it puts a text in there. And a good text expander can do multiple paragraphs to you know, whole books if you wanted to. So it's a great way if you find yourself typing things repetitively, like your phone number, your address, things like that. If you were crazy, you could do passwords. You could do anything there. So it's just a handy tool. Once you start using it, you'll wonder how you ever didn't use it. But at first, when you're talking about it, it doesn't really seem to make sense. You're not sure how you figure it out. But once you get a hang of it, it becomes something you do all the time. Like your children's name, for example. You know, my oldest daughter's name is Abby. I could just type AB and it would put the BY in there. That doesn't sound like much, but those two characters on an Android keyboard can be pretty time consuming and difficult over time to type over and over and over again. So little things like that.
And here's the thing that I really do love about text expansion. There are certain phrases we all abuse. Mine, unfortunately, is "that's what she said last night." So what I do is !TWSS, and then it automatically expands it out to "that's what she said last night." Here's the one thing that I really did like about this app, and I know a lot of text expanders do this, but I love the fact that I could automate !PST, and that's what their example is in the store, and it would automatically paste what's in your clipboard. Those kind of dynamic actions I like, because to hold down and tap and get that cursor in the right spot and wait for it to little pop up and then to paste takes extra time. It takes longer to do that than it does just to type your quick code to do a paste. You can also do more dynamic stuff like just the year, the time, the date, the month, the things like that. So you can automate text expansion from that kind of dynamic source as well. But the paste one was the one that got me. I love that.
I don't use this much on my phone. In fact, when I got my new phone, I didn't even put it on there. I use the crap out of it at work on my PC. So, you know, just to, I'm sure it has a place on the phone, and I have used it on the phone. But for me, where text expansion is huge is it work. Like if I'm asking, the application I work with, you have to do what's called a data migration. You move something from a test environment to the production environment, and you're not allowed to move something that you built yourself, that you coded. So I have to ask somebody else on the team. So I have a .migrate. I type that, and it pops up and says, at your convenience, please migrate items associated with ticket number, and then pops up a text dialog box where I type in the ticket number from the test environment to the prod environment. Thank you very much. So I typed one character and then pasted, and it did all that, or one word and pasted, it did all that. So those are the kind of things that text expanders are good for. In my, you know, podcast world, I get lots of emails, and sometimes the emails require sort of a form response, and I have macros that, you know, do a couple letters, and it does the programmed response. Thank you for your interest. I'm not taking advertisers at this time. You know, things like that. Stallman, stop bothering me. I'm never going to let you on my show. You know, just mm-hmm. things like that.
I thought it was going to be automatic text expansion too. I know you think you're right, but I'm the one that's actually right.
Well, I do have one of those too. That's called the gotcha one.
Right. I will say on the phone, I think these are useful, but I find them much more useful on my Jide tablet. On a tablet, just because the tablet is a bit more conducive to creation of content. And I wanted to use those words very carefully because it's still not a full laptop, and I know that. But it is much more possible to do long-form emails and stuff on a tablet than a phone. On the phone, I just stick with voice dictation. I abuse the Cruise app out of voice dictation.
All right, TextBand, and there is a pro version. I'm not really sure what the difference is between the pro and the free, but the pro version is $299.
I'm not sure, and I'm going to call myself a liar, Mark. I'm going to bring one more. It's a game, but it's really a simulation. I'm going to say that. That's my excuse. It's called Driving School 2016. And when you hear it, it doesn't really sound that cool. It really doesn't sound that interesting. It sounds mundane. Why? Because driving school is mundane. Okay, it's completely free by a dev I can't pronounce.
Ovidiu Pop is what I would say. Ovidiu. O-V-I-D-I-U. Ovidiu Pop.
Yes. And if you do, you clean it up. It is free, does have some sort of in-app purchases. It is by a quote-unquote top developer, they say. 212,000 plus reviews, 4 and almost 4.5 stars. No video in the store. I highly encourage you people, type in YouTube, Driving School 2016 Android, and hit play, and then watch it for a couple of seconds. Here's what I equate this to. This is Grand Theft Auto-esque style gameplay and graphics, minus guns, prostitutes, mafia, and murder, is what I'm going to say. So I actually found this game kind of fun. For instance, this can actually, if you don't know how to drive a stick, this can technically show you how to drive a stick shift or a manual transmission. That was one of the things I actually was shocked about, was that this game actually does try to teach you how to properly obey the rules of the road. And it's not just a race game. Just because of that, just because of being different, I thought I should bring this to the show.
And if you want, you can hook up with one of your friends and they can ride with you in free ride mode. So they're literally doing nothing but watching you and probably criticizing.
They're hanging out. Slow down. Man, don't take that corner so tight. What's wrong with you? Wasn't that a yellow light?
It's a pedestrian.
Yes, exactly. And you can simulate driving cars, trucks, pickup trucks, dump trucks, full like school buses, big RVs, all kinds of different vehicles. That was one thing I thought was actually kind of cool. You can have like behind the car view or from the cockpit view. The cockpit views I thought were kind of funny because they really do try to make it like a full dashboard and the such. For extra vehicles, I do believe for some of the vehicles, that's where they wanted you to pay money, that and extra areas to drive in.
How well did it work with your gamepad?
GPD, I had no issues with it. Loaded perfectly fine. Ran, you know, with very, very little issue. I mean, once in a while I had to touch the screen instead of using the game sticks, but that was it.
Yeah, that's specifically what I was asking about. Oftentimes those, this is a multi-control game. So you've got your gas, your clutch, your brake, your steering wheel. And if it's a gear, if it's a manual, you've got the stick shift. So that's why I was wondering if the GPD could handle all of that input.
It could, except for the stick shift. because it was very weird how to shift. It was a very graphical centric way to shift. So I could do that. I couldn't shift. I could easily do all the pedals. I could easily do the steering. Mainly in the options menus and stuff is where I had to use the screen.
It looks like you can tilt to steer or have a steering wheel on the screen either way. So I personally don't like tilt steering, but I know other people do. So that's an option.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's more realistic if you're trying to learn to drive.
I guess it is, but I always feel like if I'm going to feel like I'm drunk playing a game, it's tilting to steer because it seems like I can never be accurate with it. You know?
You always have to way oversteer. If you moved a real steering wheel the way you have to move a tablet, you would be crashing into guardrails left and right.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I definitely thought this was definitely fun, free, clean fun is what I'm going to say. Free and G, to quote Eric, since he's not here.
That's an even 10 apps. I think that's good. We'll just call it a night right there, unless you just have another one burning to share with us.
I don't have another one burning. I do have plenty of other apps, and I might do another 0.5 episode this week. I'm not entirely sure. If I do, I will again post it to Patreon, and I will again post it for everyone, not just the Patreon subscribers. So once in a while, it behooves you to go visit that page, even if you're not a Patreon. Patreoner? Patreonee?
I think just patron.
Patron. Yeah.
Supporter. All right. I think that's it. We're just going to say goodnight. Throw money at door. Patreon is a great way to do that. The absolute painless way to do it is go to podnuts.com/Amazon. Anytime you need to make an Amazon purchase, you see no difference. Absolutely the same purchasing experience, but, we get a little kickback of every purchase you make. So that's the ultimate slacktivism. You don't have to do anything except what you were already going to do, and door gets money. So do that. But I do also encourage you to check out, Patreon, and where did you set up the snow plow or whatever it was thing that you mentioned last week?
I actually don't comprehend the funding model whatsoever. It almost sounds like as a Patreon to that service, you don't get a choice to how much you're going to give, or you give in 3-month increments, which I have very mixed feelings about. I'm not completely sold on that service yet. I literally am tempted to ping them and ask somebody, can I please talk to you? Because if we do this by email, it's going to be like 50 emails back and forth.
Yeah, it was snowdrift.coop is what it was. And I didn't take the chance to check it out. I was just wondering if you did. You know, Patreon's great. The fees can be a bit exorbitant, but you as the end user don't pay those fees. We as the recipients of the money do. So don't let that bother you. If the fee is 3%, you're not paying 3% extra. We pay that. And it's certainly, you know, 97% is better than 0% if you didn't give. So don't worry about that. Okay, thanks for hanging out with us. We wish Eric well. I'm sure he'll be back next week. We hope he'll be back next week. Door, as always, thanks for letting me hang out with you. We appreciate it. But I'm going to say that covers it for this week's episode of Android App Addicts.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.